Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
What do you know about how to get beyond your mundane everyday thoughts? Do you understand how our thoughts create our reality in a real and practical way? Do you desire tools to help you live from another space, full of freedom and liberation from self-imposed limitation? You can create whatever it is you desire. Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to receive clear information, tools, and healing presented by Allison and her guests to help you better know what else is possible.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you for your patience. We had a little bit of technical difficulty. I don't know if it's been happening for you guys, too, this week. I know my cellular service has been funky all week long. And yesterday, Jacqueline Joy of Diamond Alignment was supposed to be with us today. That's who we were going to be listening to. She and I reshuffled our schedules yesterday when I realized that with the spring equinox on Wednesday and then yesterday with it being the 90-day phase from the 21st of December, the ending of that 90-day integration period, which we're going to talk about today. Jacqueline had been talking about it last Friday on our call that I have a call on Monday and Friday within the leadership of the Diamond Alignment group in raising the vibration for ourselves and for the collective in the work we do within the Diamond technology. And she was talking about the 90-day phase last Friday, and I was like, oh, my God, because it just made sense to me. And so we reshuffled our schedule, and I realized that this Friday's show was going to be the day after the 90-day phase finished yesterday from the 21st of December. And so we recorded it, and it didn't take. So here I am without Jacqueline. But I'm going to do my best. Thank you so much again, Jacqueline, for that's Jacqueline Joy of Diamond Alignment. She was on Healing with the Masters yesterday with Jennifer McLean, too. And I had a full client load yesterday, and just a lot of reshuffling had to happen to make it happen so we can get this information out to you today. So I'm going to do my best to paraphrase what she was saying with the eloquence and integrity with which she communicates her understanding of what's happening. So today is the 22nd. Yesterday was the 21st, and that marked the 90-day integration phase from December's galactic alignment that happened on the 21st. And as some of my regular listeners know, I was at the Mayan ruins in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico on the 21st. I was teaching yoga and meditation, doing energy healings on that galactic alignment Mayan cruise with Susan Shumsky and team, and my feet on the bare ground. I had gone there. It's the first trip I made, y'all, right when I came back from Asia. The first international trip I made out of the States was actually to the Mayan ruins in August of 2011, and then I went to South Africa in April, and then again I went to the Mayan ruins again in December as a yoga teacher and energy healer on this cruise to mark this galactic alignment, because I felt and knew and sensed it was so important and huge to raising the vibration of myself and the collective on behalf of the work that I do with people. Touching in with the energy of the Mayan ruins was very important to me, apparently. At this point, I trust anything that I find direction towards doing. I trust the reason why I'm placing myself there is that it's needed and it's going to help raise the vibration in some way of myself and then also the collective and following my joy. And so my choices aren't even necessarily made from my mind anymore. And I've talked about that on other shows. So, yeah, I go to the Mayan ruins that first trip back here, and I feel the ground in my bare feet, and It definitely took me a bit to connect in with the energy there. I brought a couple of god statues of the major gods down there and brought, that were hand-carved by local Mayans, and have been kind of working with the energy all last year to kind of counteract and complement the energy that I had connected in with in my 10 years in Asia and all that that meant to me. Because I had done a lot of work from my early 20s on within the Native American communities here prior to touching into Buddhism and alongside touching into Buddhism once I became a meditator and all the way through to my leaving to go to Asia for 10 years. So I wanted to reconnect with that part of myself and that source of power. And I didn't, you know, fully consciously, as we don't when we do these kinds of things, understand all of that really meant. And so when I went back there this past December, I was there at Chichen Itza, where the Great Pyramid is, right across from the stadium, where they actually designed, understood, divined the calendar that had the prediction for December 21st, 2012. And the ground this year, on December, it was 19th that I was at, it's the 20th that I was at Chichen Itza. And we had a ceremony that we did there. We got a special permit. We were working with a Mayan elder and shaman, and the ground was pulsating. It felt like there were little spikes of lightning going up into my feet. Now, I've walked barefoot much of my life when it's been appropriate and stayed connected with the earth. And obviously, as an energy healer, I have a good sense of energy. And it was undeniable that there was like this voltage coming up through the earth to my feet that was not present last year at the Mayan ruins. So that really struck me. Hey, and apparently, too, at this exact time, I was feeling the ground. I remember looking up, and there was this film crew. We were all dressed in white as part of the requirement for the ceremony we were going to do. There was a film crew there. They weren't with, because we had a film crew with us for everything, all the workshops we were doing on board the cruise and then at the sites we went to. And this is a separate film crew. And I remember looking up and noticing the guy behind the camera and thought that he had a cool energy and he was good looking. But then when I realized later was my dad told me that my aunt had seen me on TV up in Massachusetts, and a friend of mine who watched Polish TV had seen me too. So it was a big moment. It was a big deal there. And apparently the Mayans knew that level of bigness and sensed the level of bigness enough that that motivated them to build the pyramids all over the Mayan Empire, which is throughout Mexico and the Central America and parts of Northern South America, to be able to harness and help the earth handle the frequencies coming at the earth. Jacqueline Joy spoke with a Mayan elder herself in December, and the Mayan elder talked with her about this 90-day integration phase. And what Jacqueline was saying on this recording we made for you guys all yesterday, or so we thought we were making, that even AA acknowledges not the 21 days. We're used to hearing in the world of change, personal training, coaching, it takes 21 days to break a behavior and start a new one. But what it seems like is at a brain programming level for the neurological pathways to be reshapen and formed and integrated, so it's beyond habit mode, it's in a more anchored way at the neurological level, it's a 90-day phase. And they talk about that apparently in AA, Jacqueline was explaining yesterday. And that's actually important and significant for her as well personally, because she talks about a 90-day phase for integration. She knows that it's a sacred, she has an internal knowing that 90 days is felt to her as a sacred void or womb time. And so that's why the word void is in the title of today's show, because also I've had a couple of clients this week, you know who you are, who have talked to me, come to me with a sense of depression, a sense of gray energy, a sense of flatness, dullness, and thinking it was them, a couple of them knew that it was just kind of out there in the collective when they checked in with their meditation that day. And there was, that's the energy of the void. And then one of these clients actually was talking about his own yoga class, and he does Kundalini, and his teacher was talking about how this particular moon itself is a void moon, and is a moon about moving from the Piscean age, which we just left. That's what the December 21st, 2012 alignment signified, moving us into the Aquarian age. Now, to make this non-New Agey, to make this more practical at an everyday level, what that really ends up looking like to have it have the meaning it's meant to have is that it's anything that's dense, anything that is of an older energy of this old era that we've just left is getting shaken up. It's considered the big shake-up, where breakups are happening in relationships that are like 30, 40 years old. I have a couple of clients who are going through that. Businesses are changing. What people have done as their economic activity is changing. People are moving. Homes are getting cleared out of old stuff, and yard sales are happening. Old energy is being moved, and that includes the reptilian brain, as Jacqueline Joy puts it, and that's at our brain stem. And what I know about the brain and the lobes in from teaching psychology is that that part of the brain is what develops first. So when we have our teenagers being more reactive, that's because the reactive part of the brain is that reptilian brain, as it's put in some terms, and Jacqueline uses those terms. I put it as ego mind, in coming from the Buddhist meditation tradition, where it's the more reactive part of us that is attached to the small me personality-based self. Now you guys are starting to get a feel for how this all ties together. I can feel it. The front consciousness, the front of the brain, is the more mature, advanced consciousness that has the ability to discipline ourselves and to hold ourselves back from reactive behavior to, in a mature way, assess a situation and hold ourselves back from reacting in this more caveman-like way. And I guess that word I'm using intentionally, because we are at the 26,000-year period we're moving out of. That's a substantial chunk of time, and that includes caveman times. So what this time has been over the last 90 days has been of an integration period and a real moving out of these old dense energies. And in the void-like energy, let's now come over to the void-like energy, that is time of creation. That is, if you think it's not 90 days, but it's 9 months with the birthing of a child, of a human, in that womb, the baby is protected in that fluid, right? So it's also not necessarily light in there. And the crying that happens from the shock of coming out onto the physical surface outside of the womb, the trauma that even can happen, like, whoa, oh, I'm here, what is this place? I'm not in this comfortable, warm, safe, dark place. Yeah, so that's kind of where we've been. And we've been in this time, especially this week, right around Wednesday-ish, it seemed like there was this thicker energy out there where we're really letting go and releasing of the parts that are of our society, of our global society, of our own individual country's society. I'm coming to you from America, and I know that the majority of listeners are, actually, I think it's like half. I don't know. We're just starting to get the technology to measure the location of where the listeners are. But from the feedback I get, it's about half and half, domestic and international. And in our own country, in America, there's been a heck of a lot of shakeup. In fact, I just had my first 9/11 client this week come to me, a fireman who was at the site on the day and has gone through much therapy, even a physical detox that apparently Scientology sponsored for the firemen, free right after it happened, to help them detox from the trauma physically. And he is still challenged with feeling comfortable and safe and at ease and happy. And so one of the things we were doing was looking at the value of what 9/11 could have possibly provided, you know, always going to that mountaintop perspective. As I talk about in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, and as the whole picture of the cover is a woman meditating on a mountaintop to get the biggest perspective. And from living in Asia for 10 years, where there's a sense of history and there's a sense of longevity, longitudinally, a connection to the way they've done things traditionally, and so therefore their history and their antiquity that is cut off from an American life because of our being a colony in a new country comparatively, we don't tend to go to that mountaintop perspective as easily. We don't tend to have that sense of perspective. And also that bleeds over into a more materialist-based society than a spiritually-based society. Spirituality, or from the level of the soul, that's also a way that we get perspective and find the value and meaning in events. And so I know, too, that one of the main things I say in the book is reincorporating a sense of soul and spirit to get perspective into our country, and that's also very much a part of what's shifting and possibly what 9/11 helped to catalyze. According to Jacqueline Joy, the harmonic convergence in 1987, 25 years ago, started this whole shifting of the higher and higher frequencies coming onto our planet to transition us from the age of what's also called the age of Jesus into this new Aquarian age that's going to be based on consciousness. So another thing that I go through in my book is talking about how we have grown up in a society, those of us who are over 15, we've grown up in a society that was based on Newtonian physics and industry and activity organized around industry and Newtonian physics, where things were solid, things were linear, like we had production lines, we had assembly lines, we produced one thing after another, and we could see the tangible goods, whereas nowadays the internet has been mirroring more the shifting into the age of consciousness based on quantum physics and based on incorporating the globalized perspective of what the ancient cultures knew about the subtle energy bodies. So if you're interested, if this is piquing you, this isn't the show to go into it. You can get my book, go to the bottom right, you can see What If There's Nothing Wrong. I believe there's a link there to pick up the book. I talk about all of that, and it brings together a whole new understanding in ways that we can have more health in our society and wealth, because that is what we're moving to. And that's why it's been so difficult the last 10-ish years or so, is the stuff that was dysfunctional was getting shaken out. And the stuff that had dysfunction was the stuff that was physically dense. When I say physically dense, I mean it's like coal. It's not porous and light like a sponge. It's like coal. It's dense. So in the range, for example, David Hawkins with his power versus force measurement of the calibration of, or we could say the frequency of emotions, and I've talked about this in many shows. Let me back up. I could talk about this in my book too, but let me back up just a minute to give a brief background. So everything in the universe breaks down to energy. That's been discovered in quantum physics. And beneath physical matter, beneath the particles, beneath the substance are waves. Everything's operating as waves. Prior to the waves, everything is just pure potential. And that's what we know in the East as chi, that runs throughout the trees, that runs throughout the air, that runs throughout our subtle energy lines called meridians, that we know if we're familiar with acupuncture, where they put the needles are on certain points in the meridians. In the yoga world, we talk about those being nadis, and then we have the chakra system, and the chakras are the main city centers where the energy runs through these city centers down the highways of the nadis, which are the same thing that the Chinese culture uses as meridians that travel the subtle energy or life force energy or chi or prana, depending on Chinese or Hindu yogic background. They're all the same term, meaning the subtle life force energy. And when you look at the way that we've labeled that in English, life force energy, life force. Yeah, it's what gives us that vitality and that openness and that sparkle and aliveness. And so that's what's in the trees and that's what's in the air. That's called qi. And then when we do qigong, we do the gathering of the qi to have more of that health and vitality. And then when we get treated with acupuncture, it's to break up anywhere where there's stagnancy of that life force moving through us. So what's known at this energy level is after its pure potential, it then is it's functioning in a wave form as it's actually potential. And some waves are higher than other waves. And when we have a belief that locks the potential into matter, that then collapses the wave into something physical. So if we have the same thought, not just an individual fleeting thought, but the same thought over and over again, it collapses into, it's more like a belief, and that frequency of that belief or that tone locks down the wave into that frequency of that belief. If we believe that the world is hostile and people tend to hurt each other more than we believe the world is a friendly, loving place and people support each other, each of those have their own tones to them. So if everything breaks down to a frequency, then what we're talking about is certain beliefs will move the consciousness in one direction, like the world is a friendly, supportive place, and we'll have life force energy flowing through our system. And if we have beliefs that are like, that are, do not help our system be open and flourishing, if it locks down in like a fear-based belief, like there isn't enough money and I have to scramble for what I have, and people are out to hoard what's theirs and they don't want to share and it's competitive. Yep. All of that's the old school beliefs based on Newtonian physics that's linear and structured, and that there's only enough and it's a production line and we can only do one at a time. But if you look at the new age we're going into, there's a recognition of the holographicness of the universe, or we're each a microcosm of the macrocosm, or on the internet things are reached out exponentially. It's no longer that slow linearity, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. Instead, it's more exponential living because we are living in the era of consciousness now. So it's a higher vibration, apparently, as we shift from the old age into the new age. All of this stuff is coming together, and this is exactly what my book goes into. And I go into it because I want to help people understand the changes that we're going through. And our paradigm in America doesn't help give us this kind of perspective and doesn't help us understand how to easily and gracefully move through the collapse that we're seeing around us of the old ways of doing things in America, in particular, and in the West, and all around the modernized globe, wherever it is modernized, there's new ways of doing things now. And so this 90-day period apparently has been a gestation period where we've really been integrating these new higher energies to move us into this lighter age where it's more based on cooperation and communication and community, all of it in partnership, recognizing the power of consciousness joined up in efforts, as opposed to the old Newtonian-based ideas of, like, for example, based on the Darwinian understanding of only the fittest survive and that sense of limitation and lack and struggle to get yours, competition. So we're moving out of the era of competition, out of the era of lack, and into the era of community and cooperation and communication in order to make those happen. So there's been a lot of purging of more ego-based me, me, me. And when we come from that place, there's more fear, and there's more, because of the fear, that's more controlling behavior. So we're noticing a whole bunch of stuff just breaking down, and in that breakdown is chaos. And in that chaos, apparently, is a whole lot of checkout. This is too much for me to deal with. Let me just go shopping. Let me just play my video games. Let me just watch this movie. Let me just get this new gadget. Let me just get that new gadget. Let me just go shopping. Let me have more stuff. Let me not pay attention. Let me just, exactly. Because it just feels so big, and it has been that big. But that time is ending now. And you can, and a lot of people, Joe Dunning has talked about this, I've noticed as I've been talking about it too, including my own mom, left this planet in this, during this period, because this new energy is just too much for, how do I interpret this? I don't want to say this new energy is just too much. It seems like the preference was that there was some, the souls that chose to leave, they're just such a, the more linear, different kind of old, it's sometimes referred to in old, as old school energy. This new energy was just too high, or they felt like they could help more from the other side, or whatever. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems to me a clear observation that there were a whole lot of people leaving their body over the last 10 years. Like old school people that grounded a certain kind of energy, of solidity and of, that linearity and that production line, assembly line, industrial age kind of thinking. It's much more sped up now, and that goes along with a higher vibration. Things are faster. So another bottom line of the reason why I wrote that book is that it behooves us to work with our thoughts and our beliefs and our emotions and our reactivity when something doesn't go the way our mind expects it to go, and we snap back and we fight back and we're pissed off and we want more control, instead looking at really where we have control, which is only over our own selves. So that reactivity has been up in the air too, because it's just too dense. The programming, biological wiring of that reptilian brain, reptile, what is that? Stone Age, dinosaurs, caveman. And we still have that wiring. Like, there's much discussion in the health field of how we still have the wiring to have us go into fight or flight, right? We're not fighting tigers anymore in the jungle for the most part. And yet our system, when we go into a stressful situation that our mind interprets as stressful, I mean, because what's stressful to one person isn't stressful to another person. So somebody can go up and publicly speak to an audience and have no stress about it, and another person could collapse. So it's all depending on one's interpretation, what is stressful. And if we do interpret something as stressful, then our body has a biological, or another way of saying that is hormonal, response. And so we have a cascade of hormonal responses, and now we're creating a different biochemistry in our body, one that is has been created during the reptilian age to fight or to fly, the fight or flight mechanism. So cortisol gets released so we can have more adrenaline gets released so we can have more power to either fight or fly. But what happens is, because we're not in the jungle, you know, going for our food, fighting for our meat, or being threatened by a big, huge elephant with tusks chasing us, that frequently results in cortisol will then store fat on our belly, right? Because we need that. The body interprets it as, well, you need that extra energy to be able to run or to fight. So we're still even dealing with biological wiring of this old age, and yet it's a new age we're living in. So it's really on a lot of different levels that this reptilian rewiring is happening, if you will, and we're evolving. That's what this time has been about, the 26,000-year cycle ending, and the Mayans predicting it, and many other cultures predicting it too. Apparently it was even mentioned in the Bible. And so this last 90 days has been that void-like energy where things are kind of still and it's not clear and it's not settled yet how things are going to turn out. So you may have been initiating change in the last year, and some of those changes that you initiated aren't coming to fruition as quickly and as easily as you had expected by now for them to be. They might still be dangling in uncertainty and not totally settled down yet. And that is what we're coming out of now. So it's really an incredible time to be alive on this planet. Absolutely incredible. We are so blessed to be a part of this huge transition in the evolution of humankind. And we chose to be here if you operate from that kind of thinking or paradigm. And so having that perspective, understanding why you may have been more reactive or why you may have felt more dull and listless over the last week, or things not moving or things seeming kind of womb-like and, you know, just kind of static. We're coming out of the void of the gestation period of that blast of the galactic alignment. And I was telling Jacqueline this yesterday. It was really interesting. I think I said this on the show after December 21st, actually, if you want to go back and listen to that. I remember Jo Dunning interpreting what she found out about the alignment and where it was focused on the planet, and apparently it was focused on this sliver or slice of the central American part where the Mayan culture lived, in the South American part, and it was tilted kind of northeast, and there was a part that was also hitting the North American continent. And when I had gone to do that cruise, we were coming back, and I chose to stay in Houston that following weekend, which I'm really glad I did. I didn't really know why I was doing it. I just felt right, and so I did it with the intention, oh, yeah, I can go do some pre-book sales to some of the metaphysical bookstores there and connect out and just play. Haven't been to Houston and was looking forward to exploring it. without the preconceived judgments of what Texas is and isn't. And it's funny, a girl in Whole Foods, I went to the Whole Foods there, and there's a couple of Whole Foods in Houston, and I went to the one that I was staying at, closest to, rather, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this Whole Foods. It's even better than the ones I've seen in California. And I feel like I've been to almost all the ones in the coastal part of California through the 10 years of when I was coming in and out back and forth to Florida from Taiwan with the layovers I would create for myself in California. And she's like, well, yeah, that's because we started here. And for some reason, I mean, I knew that way back when, that Whole Foods originated in Texas. But for some reason, I just had somewhere along the lines concluded it was more appropriate that it be started in California. It must have started in California at some point. I just let go of the information that it, in fact, had started in Texas. So she reminded me of that. It's funny how the mind works, isn't it? And she said, yeah, it started in Austin. She goes, yeah, we're more hippie here than we're given credit for. I really enjoyed my time there. And I did an activation with Joe Dunning on that Saturday of the actual alignment. And I was in Houston, and I had such weird stuff happening. That whole time frame around the 21st, because I was in that land. I was at the Mayan ruins, and I was in the patch of land that was in the sliver getting the attunement or the alignment. Stuff was like not working. Stuff was dropping out of my hands. Stuff wasn't coming together. It was like kind of an electrical feeling, but stuff was like floaty at the same time. It just wasn't very physically like geared. I mean, even though I did do physical exercise and stuff, I remember like just it was just I don't know how to explain it other than the way I just did. So there was definitely something up in the air. Time was very, very different during that period too. And I know that you guys have noticed that time is really different now anyway. Besides being sped up, it's like you can lose patches of time because we're not living in that linearity anymore, and time is just a mental construct anyway. What does that mean when you say that, Allison? Well, if we look at time, time passes more quickly when we're having fun. God, when we're bored, does time crawl, right? That means we're approaching it from a mental construct. That's our perspective, making time be either slow or fast. Yeah, so it's a linearity that we create in order to be in a body on the physical plane. And as we're on a plane here now that is having higher vibrations, which means it's that wave is sped up more, its frequency is sped up. So when you think of a guitar string, to do a higher note, the guitar string moves quicker when it's doing the higher note than it the vibration moves when it's doing a lower note. It's that kind of thing. So we're in a time now where the vibration is higher, and so therefore it's quicker, and there's electricity involved there. So subtle energy is electro and magnetic, and I've talked about this a lot. So there's the electricity part that's actually measured in hertz, and the magnetic part. So magnetic stuff increases, the magnetism increases, which also means the repulsion increases. So if you have found yourself making shifts and changes over the last couple of years, you might be dropping friends off or partners off or old jobs or more now than ever before because you're just changing so rapidly and the vibrations are affecting you. You're going for more. You're expanding more. You're getting rid of your stuff physically and mentally and emotionally. You're finding out new. You're bringing to light things about yourself that used to just be habits that you would react in a certain way and think a certain way about that family member or about that part of life. And now you're starting to look into those conclusions and you're not so reactive and you've actually started to work with that area of your life or that person and have a different relationship, whether that means you don't go near them anymore or that means that you started to have open communication with them. So the stuff that has been on lockdown has been forced to the surface because that stuff that has been on lockdown has been unconsciousness, the unconsciousness that has density to it, that's a low vibration, that's like fear or hatred or greed or fear of not having enough, lack. All of that's coming to the surface because all of that's lower calibrated. Again, going back to the David Hawkins reference, so joy was found to be a much higher vibration than fear. Compassion was found to be a much higher vibration than competition. And all that means is, just think about it. When do you have more energy? When you're happy or when you're low, when you're angry. I mean, we might have fire, right? But just, and that might allow us to have a really good run. But is it that light, easy energy that we can move from, like joy is? It's a little bit of a different substance there. It is a power, yes. But joy is a higher vibration than even that anger that we use to power ourselves into creating something new when we're saying no to something old and drawing boundaries with the anger, because anger is useful. So we're drawing boundaries with this form of anger that I'm talking about. So it's not necessarily dense only. There's also a sense of fire or power to it. The joy is that sense of fire and power, but at a higher, more golden level. So now I'm trying to bring in colors to get another sense of the texture and tones, because all of this is feeling. Notice that. It's descriptions from a feeling space, and that is the nature of the times we're moving into. Vibrations are involved when we deal with higher consciousness, and vibrations are understood in terms of tones, right? And then also in terms of, therefore, feeling, because feelings have a certain tone to them. Yeah. So the higher is fleshing out the lower. So we're moving into a brand new era now, and it's fantastic. And the void, I want to touch on this too, because this seems to have been up this week in a couple of different places with a couple of different people, so it might be what's going on also for some of you out there. What I understood the void as when I was in my fifth year of meditating, I'm now in my 20th year of meditating, I backed off from that thing when I thought I had hit the void, because it was so, the energy was so huge. I was scared. I didn't have, at that point, a hands-on meditation teacher, and I didn't feel equipped. I just knew instinctively, intuitively, I was not equipped to handle this. And I read later, when I was researching to understand what it was that I had felt, that was exactly the right choice, that you do not want to go into meditation at the deeper levels without a guide so that they can help you know what you're finding in your mind, because meditating on a daily basis helps eventually, gradually, over time, flush out the subconscious and bring what's unconscious and subconscious to light, the density to the light, to purify it, to break up the density. And so, that void energy is the same thing as the void energy, kind of like the black holes out in the universe, where there's a whole bunch of contained potential and power. And it was so much power at that time, I couldn't even handle it. But it has a really different feeling. It has a sense of, like what we fear. One of the main reasons why it seems, over all the years I've been working with people, that we don't change is a fear of the unknown or a fear of the new. And that may have been up for you too, that you can see in maybe what you chose for yourself this week and even this past 3 months and even this past year or two. Have you been holding on to the old in almost stubborn refusal to move forward because a part of you, that reactive self, that small brain, small me part of me, reptilian brain part of you, has been holding on to wanting where there's control. And the familiar, no matter how uncomfortable it may be, the mind feels like it has a sense of control. Notice that reframing. Not you do have a sense of control. The mind has a sense of control, because we're not just our minds. We're also a body, and we're also, what is that heart? What is it that operates the consciousness behind us? When you look at a dead body of someone you love, and they don't look like who you loved, that's because the part that you loved is no longer animating that body. Where does it go? And why does over half the planet believe in reincarnation? Yeah, so we're more than a body. We're more than just the physical. And so let's not just say our mind is what runs us, because we have the ability to not be run by our minds. Instead, we have the ability to make our minds serviceable. Again, this is a main premise in my book, and that we just have not been taught this. Having lived through a contrast for 10 years of seeing cultures that come from the Buddhist mentality of the idea, the basic understanding that the mind all human minds are neurotic, and the human mind can be worked with. And that's what Buddhism does. Meditation is the main tool, but so is open dialogue and talking to the mind itself and its assumptions and undoing those. So can you feel that? Could you imagine living in a place that had that as its cultural understanding and incorporated into all of the cultural structures of society? That's what I strive to present overall in my book, is that we are so limiting what we could have here in the West, particularly in America, by not having a systematic way of looking at the mind and putting the mind in its place. Oh, there goes my mind again, going into reaction. Oh, there goes my mind again, going into judgment. Oh, there goes my mind again, wanting comfort, so it's seeking that piece of bread or that pizza or that bagel. That mindfulness, that ability to manage our mind, because that mind's a good thing, but we can make it serviceable instead of us being its servant. And so if you've been observing yourself, if you're even at that level where you can observe yourself, making more reactive choices and being more in fear or choosing, I know it seems like because you're in reaction, it's not a choice, but it still is a choice. See, there's all these different levels that when we just live day-to-day life, we're not even aware that there's so many other possibilities, and that is 100% what my entire platform is about, is that there is so many other ways to do life, and we could be doing life in such a more empowering, happier, healthier, vital, excited, alive, awake way than we normally are presented with. So first, that we can even observe our mind, that there's even a way to detach from what we think is just us, this mind that just has all the thoughts and the desires. And that we can actually, oh, there it is again, doing that, instead of there I am again. I mean, even if it starts out with there I am again doing that, that's still a sense of a divided self, meaning I'm not just my mind doing that thing. I can observe myself. That means there's a higher part to the mind, or a higher part to us, or a higher self. And just even the beginning stages of that cultivation, breathe so much fresh air. And that's what these times are about. So you could be having been on one side of this or the other in this last year, more poignantly, or over the last 3 months. But it's shifting now. So just have faith, you know, and explore to look for other options, to teachers and guides that can help you learn how to work with yourself. Ones that make you really feel inspired that this is possible. What else is possible? Ones that communicate to that part of you that can hear, that really speak to that part of you that can hear, whoever that might be and whatever that system might be. Just follow that yes, follow that enthusiasm, follow that. And even in what, and especially nowadays too, this is another really important point to bring up. A lot of the choices that we're making may fly in the face of what seems like logic. So if we look at finances, for example, and we look at our balance sheets, and we say, okay, here's my income, and here are my expenses, and I want to have this huge desire to do this new thing that I just saw 3 months from now, and I just almost explode with joy. I am so excited about this possibility to go climb this mountain with this group of people. And that's something you want to make happen for yourself, because that explosion of joy in your life is going to fuel your life in a way that everything else will fall into place. Which, if you look, let's say, for example, at your spreadsheet, and your income is lower than your expenses, your first thought is, well, we got to cut expenses, right? Well, what about I got to generate more money? Get online. Sell your stuff. What else is possible? And follow where your yes is, because that's going to lead to another yes, that's going to lead to another opening, that's going to continue to grow you, and that will fuel your life. Exactly, yeah. Choose for the happiness and the joy, and the money will follow. That's where that saying comes from. So as we expand like tree limbs on a tree, because that's our inherent nature, that life force energy expanding, you want to continue to do that and make the choices that allow you to continue to expand. If you find yourself in too much contraction, have a yard sale. Do the one thing that your mind has been resistant against. If it's too big and you can't handle it and there's no way, do a smaller thing. Do the exact opposite that your mind wants to do at least once a day. If your mind, for example, wants 3 pieces of pizza, eat 2. If there's a friend that you know you want to connect with, but the other part of you is saying, nah, just stay home. You had a tough week. It's been a long week. You're tired. Just stay home. If that's making you contract, when another part of you really wants to be that tree limb expanding, then go ahead and expand and say, and call up that person and say, yeah, let's do it. Because who knows, maybe there's somebody that's going to be there where you two are that's going to be important for you. Or maybe there's going to be something in the conversation that's going to be important for you. Or maybe your heart just needs the release. The mind doesn't, until we work with it and make it serviceable, the mind does not make choices that are usually in our favor. Right? And another aspect is the mind-body connection itself. Our physical health, our levels of energy might have been not so high over the last year or two. There has been so much shakeup happening, and it's a challenge in one-hour radio show to communicate to you how different of an approach there is to living life. One of the things that's said in, I've heard Chinese people say this, Thai people say this, and Indian people say this about Americans, they love to burn out their central nervous system. That's not to say that they don't love stimulus over there. They have lots of neon lights and lots of fireworks and lots of active cultures, especially at night. But one of the distinguishing factors, though, is that there seems to be a sense of pace and an understanding of the central nervous system being the source that runs energy up and down our spine, and that there's a natural ebb and flow, having that bigger backdrop, that longitudinal backdrop. That may have sounded like a criticism. If your mind's receiving it like a criticism, what else is possible? And who does that belong to? Because it's not a criticism. It's just a presentation of another way. Yeah. Yeah. And to raise the awareness here, because if you're burning yourself out, if you're running and chasing after this goal and achieving that goal and making that thing happen and going here and being extroverted all the time and going out there and accomplishing all this stuff, as I myself have done, then are we making time to then also do the opposite, to live in balance, to introvert, to be soft, to be internally focused, to not be extroverted only and to be expanding only and pushing out there only, but are we making time to balance out our energy flows in our body so that they're not always pushing outward towards the external environment for creation and manifestation and production and achievement. That's what's meant. Yeah. So, if we're living life with a sense of pace to it, then there's the potential that we won't have as many central nervous system vulnerabilities. That's another one of the increases, the increase in autism and in Asperger's. The central nervous systems are different now. The energy is higher. And this is something that I clearly say in my book, and I said on a couple of other radio shows, is that we could also have been having feelings that make us say, I got to go to the doctor and find out what this is, physical symptoms, and the doctors can't diagnose it. And what's happening is that there are issues of consciousness and they're having clearing effects on our bodies as we raise our vibration and clear out the density, but they don't make sense to a medical system geared towards the physical only. And so these are issues of consciousness. And one of the issues of consciousness, in my understanding and many others, is that the central nervous system disorders, like Parkinson's even, I have a new student with Parkinson's in my yoga class this week. I was really, 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 really happy for his sake that he was there and impressed. That's an excited nervous system, right? Tremors, right? what causes the nervous system to be excited? We would begin extrapolating from there. And there would have been, in energy healing and in the holistic field, an understanding that something locked it in a while back to cause, locked it in meaning something, meaning an event, maybe causing a trauma as a child, or possibly a belief, a conclusion wired in then at the subconscious level as the neurological pathways are being formed from ages 0 to 6 that caused excitement to that central nervous system all the time. So that there is an actual understandable link that can be undone instead of just medicated. There's actual undoing of these physical diagnoses in the energy world, in the energy healing world, and in the world that works with consciousness, the mind-body connection, the holistic model. And so some of the physical diseases that are so dense, like the cancer, that's also been coming up possibly. I mean, if we put 1 + 1 together with what I've been saying in this radio show, cancer could be considered a density itself, the big C, you know, the big battle. Is it possible with anger being what's understood to be the emotion behind cancer, is it possible that that was coming up to purge that dense, heavy energy off of the planet and out of us? One of my clients today with a breast lump, without going into the particulars, because everybody's different, you know, just everybody's different in everybody's level of their body's alkalinity or acidicness, their diet, their level of emotional toxicity or not. Everybody's different with what contributes to then have something become what's diagnosed as a physical disease in this country, and then how to extrapolate back and unwind the physical the issue. Again, because even cancer is seen as an imbalance to the system when looked at it from a holistic approach. So we've been undoing where the anger has been. And with breasts, it's involving nurturance. And with that, being a mom, too, it's involving self-nurturance. And there's the heart chakra that's in the center of the two breasts. And the heart chakra is the vibration of love. Not just romantic love, but the vibration of love, the how do I say this? The source of love, that primary energy. And so if that's not being applied then to the self, then there's a growing sense of resentment that there is not a sense of self-nurturance. If there's too much giving and that's out of balance, and if there's resentment, then that's on the spectrum opposite of love and self-love and unity and compassion and forgiveness. That's all that keeps the heart chakra open and keeps the subtle life force energy spinning all through the area. Instead, it's going to keep that area more closed down and less flush with this life force energy, which means density can grow there. Yeah. Yeah, so density has been flushing off the planet. And so I have started last week, by the way, if you want to get some help of flushing some of your density out, I don't mean to segue into this as if I'm marketing, but I am. Because this, it's a new form of marketing, because I'm excited about what I do, because it helps people feel better. And if they feel better, our planet's lighter. And that means I feel lighter. And that means we all feel lighter. So yes, it's a new economy where there's heart-based economic activity. And so if you want to get clear of some of your density, I'm doing up through the chakra column, one chakra a week, theta healing over a telecall series where it's an hour where the first 15 minutes-ish or so are about the chakra and what issues you would see in your life if you had an imbalance in that chakra. And the rest of the call is spent on theta healings to clear out that chakra of any traumas that keep energy, dense energy locked in there to start the healing process. And you get recordings so that you can listen to the clearings over and over and over again to ensure that the density leaves. You can go to my website down below if you click on the link on the right, healing-balance, or if you're already on Facebook with me, you can go check out Facebook. There's some posts there. You can still join, and I'll send you the recording from the root chakra, which is what we started with last week, and it was unbelievable. It was a fantastic clearing. There was such chunks of coal hit and such freedom being met, and that's what it's all about. Let's be free! Free to choose more joy, more expansion. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.